Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the epistle for this day, the 15th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, the 4th verse. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. In the epistle which was read just a few moments ago, St. Paul speaks of God as the God of hope and says that whatever was written in former days, by that he means the Old Testament scriptures, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. By this, St. Paul means that when we see how the hope of the Old Testament believers for Christ's coming was gloriously fulfilled, we find encouragement that God's promises to us, his New Testament believers, will also be fulfilled. And so in today's epistle, St. Paul cites 4 passages from the Old Testament, which clearly show that the promised Messiah would be the Savior not only of the Jews, but also of the Gentiles, which means all non-Jews, which means people of every nation under heaven, you and me. As God's promises to his ancient people Israel were fulfilled, so will be his promises to us, who are God's new Israel, the new people of God. Christ's great promise to us is that on the last day, at the end of this world, he will come again in glory and bring to joyful completion the work of salvation begun when he was conceived in Mary's womb, not by any human father, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then 9 months later born in the little town of Bethlehem. Because God fulfilled his promise to send his only Son to be the Savior, we know with full assurance that the Lord Jesus will come again in glory to make all things new. At the end of today's gospel, Jesus says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Most certainly, his words in today's gospel concerning his coming again, when Jesus says, "The powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." That is our sure and steadfast hope, and how we need that hope in these gray and latter days. And here let me say something about our Christian hope. This hope is not at all the same as optimism. It seems that optimism is perhaps one of those character traits we're born with or develop as we go on in life. Some people are just naturally optimistic, others naturally pessimistic, And I suspect that most of us, depending on our circumstances or mood, even the time of year, go back and forth between the two. To the optimist, the glass is always half filled. To the pessimist, the same glass is always half empty. Optimism is a quality of mind and heart that we find in ourselves. The Christian hope is anchored in God alone, whose truly good and loving heart we know through the gift of his Son and Holy Spirit. The Father created you and me out of love. His Son redeemed us out of love. And the Holy Spirit's longing is that poor little creatures like you and me eventually come to see God face to face, come to share in God's life and joy. That is the Christian hope, and how we need that hope in these gray and latter days. And surely it is the lack of hope, the lack of that sure and certain hope, yes, the despair that we so clearly and terribly see in all the shocking violence in the streets of our cities and indeed throughout the world. That is a manifestation of, among other things, hopelessness. You and I live in a dying world, and you and I and every human being are dying people. The grave awaits us all in the end, and this world as we now know it will also come to an end. The signs of which Jesus speaks in today's gospel tell us that this is so. He speaks of signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations in perplexity, men's hearts failing with fear and with foreboding at what is coming on the world. In fact, all the dismal and destructive realities of life tell us that this is so. But if we remember and take seriously the words of Jesus, then we know that these signs, these grim reminders of our own mortality and of this world's end, are not a reason for despair. Because seen with eyes of faith, they are even reason for hope, because they tell us that the Lord we love and long to see is in fact on his way, just as Jesus says in the gospel for this day. Now, when these things begin to take place, look up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And so we sing to our Lord Jesus, once crucified, but now risen, ascended, and coming again, our hope and expectation, O Jesus, now appear. Arise, desire of nations, or this benighted sphere, with hearts and hands uplifted, we plead, O Lord, to see the day of earth's redemption that brings us unto thee. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.